So this is another point of the argument of the Tumat HaDeshen, that since there's no change of heart between the Kedushin and the Nisuin, because they're simultaneous. Ba'ayin perish ha-magaresh, b'gmar v'tosus perk al-fapid, hatam ha-fayish, k'mar makulukim, b'matna ma'asha katur v'tawa, ad kan l'shonam. Va'ani tama alze. Beit Yosef writes, I'm shocked by this decision of the Tumat HaDeshen. Me'achar she'ein ha-heter muvua v'talmud adidan. Since this is not an explicit statement in our Talmud, it's only implicit by argumentation. And the Yerushalmi is explicitly prohibits this, nullifies such a clause. So the Shulchan Aruch comes down strongly against the Tumas HaDeshen.
How do we do it today?
We haven't gotten to today yet. We're still in the 15th and the 16th century. Okay? All right. So, with the exception of Rav David HaKohen, which is, of course, who was a Sephardic authority, all of the Sephardim for the next 150 or 200 years, more or less, we'll see some exceptions, follow the Beis Yosef and our Machmir on this principle. And the Ashkenazic tradition for the next couple of hundred years, that is up until the beginning or the middle of the 18th of the 19th century, follow the Tumas HaDeshen. For example, if you take a look in the Ramah, in the Darkei Moshe, he writes, on the same page, Umari Brin Katav Afal Pi She'en L'Hatnot Shelotei Zkukol Yavam Tahavi K'matana Masha Katur B'Torah Mikol Makom Im Makad Shabbat Nai Kaful Shelo Tien Mekudeshet Im Tipol Lefnei Yavam Shapir Dami Ayin Repiskei HaMahari.
Another word?
Yes, of course you have to say it. Alright, so that's the Darkei Moshe on the tour, and also in the Shulchan Aruch itself. In his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber doesn't bring this item at all, but the Ramah says, "V'hamakadesh isha v'yesh lo ach mumar yochol lekadesh v'lahatnot b'tnai kaful she'im tipol l'pnei mumar v'yavam shelo dei mekudesh." So the Ashkenazic tradition was to rely on this notion of introducing a clause like the Bavli, or at least assuming that the Bavli doesn't disagree with this, and the Sephardic tradition was to come down against it.
Sociologically, the Sephardic weren't subject to...
Well, they certainly weren't... Well, they had been the previous generation, but now when they're all living in Turkey, under a rather beloved Turkish rule, they weren't at that time subject to these
Bavli. He already has an Ach Mumar at the time of the Kiddushin.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it turns out later that the...
One yeah, of that's, the, a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. What happens if the brother-in-law converts afterwards and
after they're married.
Right. Yeah. Or should they always make a clause in the Kiddushin, should my brother-in-laws convert? That's a little hard, painful to do. Okay. Now let's take... I have the entire tshuva of the Reb David Cohen. It's really a very lengthy tshuva, and I decided not to Xerox it all, but at least on the next page we'll read the beginning of the she'ela, and then the beginning of the tshuva, and then the summary in the Knesset HaGdol. No, it's good.
We learned some years ago that she didn't know that her husband had any brothers.
Then
we learned that back in
mm-hmm.
the distant community, and someone comes into the community and they're looking for a wife and so mm-hmm. forth and so on. Would that be similar to this situation? That
would be easier, because there you can maintain that there was some sort of a... in other words, here the question is, let's face up with our problem.
After marriage, here's the same thing with the woman.
In that particular tshuva, he explicitly said he didn't have any.
Yeah.
He lied,
yes.
So how does it
same
situation?
No, this is not a situation. He doesn't know that. We're talking about the case where the brother-in-law, where the husband's brother is a mumar. And she's worried. Okay? And the question is, can she protect herself? So here, at the moment, all of this discussion has been still for a brother-in-law who is a mumar. And let's continue with this. She'ela. In the right-hand column, Yevamash shenafla lefnei Yevam meshumad shenenas b'shat hashmad hamar ba'mufursam asher hayah b'malchut Portugal The Nitma Bein Hagoyim. Remember, there was this major pogrom in 1494 and 1495 or thereabouts. V'lo chazal ledat Yisrael, zelo eschim shana v'yoter. He stayed a Christian. V'yesh lo v'shut latzeif v'lavo v'eino rotze. V'chein b'sha'at ha'kidushin v'anusiyin haya meshumad, v'haya lo v'shut latzeif v'lavo v'lo v'atza. Z'kuka hi lo olo. Tshuva. Tnan b'per ketzad mish yesh loach mikol makom zokeket eshet achiv liyibum chutz v'mish yesh loach min ha-shivcha o min ha-chrit v'amina mikol makom latuye mayam av yudah latuye mamzeh, etc., etc. And now, so he says that theoretically this is, but now let's skip to the next paragraph. Ani omer, da'af al gav da ha-matneh al ma shekatuv b'torah tna'o batel k'ritnan b'perek b'sof ha-po'alim u'plukted u'ameh rab Yehuda. Lo yahal davar shabamam davar shabaguf kol yal mamodu d'tanaol batel k'rit atam v'perak hazahav v'perak hafalpi v'kama mukamot b'talmud v'katav hamad chasham b'sof ha-po'alim b'shem Yerushalmi she'im meit lo teiz kukal yavam havi matneh al masha katur b'torah l'tanaol batel v'kol makom b'gmar didan b'sof ha-gozer leitzim mashma da matneh she'im yamut shelo teiz kukal t'nayo kayem. ולא הרי מתן על מה שכתוב בתורה, ותנא ובטל, ותנן הטעם נתן את הכסף לאנשי משמר וכולי, ואמרינו בגמר השמע מיני כסף מחפה מחצה ולא מחפה הרי מהרי ליושם, מי תאם את הדעת רפי לא יהיב, ופרחין נתם אלא מייתה יבמה שנפלה לפני מוכה שכין, טיפות ולא חליצה, דעת רפי לא קדשנפשה, ומשנין נתם, ענן סעדי דמינח ניחלי בכל דו, כתוב בישוע בן לוי, אמר בישוע בן לוי, מתתב למיטב תנדו מלמיטב עמו. Rosh Lakish, I should say. Hare lechaha, the Yavamash and Raflav Neuka Shin, Ilav Taima, the Anan Sadi, the Minach Nichale, Lo Haitaz Kukalo, Ela Yotzeit, Lo Khalitza, Mitaima, the Adati Hachi, Lo Kitchen of Shah. The Imkain, Biadahu, Lahat Not, Shim Yamut Baala, Bolo Banim, the Tipol, the Fiachiv, the Tepet, Lo Khalitza, Venera, the Hainu Taima, the Avayamun, and the Yavaman of Lafne, Mishuma, the Tepet, Lo Khalitza, the Imlo. This is a long tshuva, but he sustains the position of the Trumas Hadeshim. Okay, now let's take a look at the Knesset HaGdola in his line-by-line commentary on the Beit Yosef. V'yotah shita katav, v'yesh no hagin lahatnot b'shal kedushin shelo tisakek liyavam im tipol lefanav. Nira ba'enai nusach t'naizev mehoram min sal simen kuftet v'nusach chiyuv ha'achim lichaletz menem tishar zkuka liyavam v'tikun sofrim simen gimel. Shitanun Bav, Vani Tame Alze, Meachar She'ein Hetem Uvua, Batalmud Adidan, etc. Now, this is the Beis Yosef, remember, saying, How can you say this when it's not an explicit heter in Agumar and the Yerushalmi definitely prohibits it? Amar HaMa'asev, Harav HaMachaber Zal Hilchik Minagze. The Beit Yosef rejects this custom. Aval haradach zal bevayitet cheder alef hera panim lemin hagze zulat sheyeh atnai b'shat kupa ubiya v'katav sheod sham b'chederhe d'afilu im yamut amatne b'lo b'amin v'shto muteret b'lo chalitza lo havi mafrofeya b'ilato b'ilatznut ulochal akasha mehid yamin amperak yishar ela nisuyim yikel amem atnai hit b'nusaya v'perosh rashi zal en adam asa b'ilato b'ilatznut ad kan. Bimita diachol atnot v'lo havi bilato bilotzot atayin yesh makom achush dil matnayu v'nesuyim v'imbonu l'chalek b'in shal kudushim mitpatnun machmat atnay achal mitato v'lkim mishpatnun b'chayav nicha d'hachi mari b'chayav v'lek elamei matnahu v'kudushim v'memashe chazak haradach dvarav mipilegesh v'yad esvir lei d'av she mitpatnun ha-kudushim b'chayav lo havi bilato bilatnot k'mo shkotav etc. 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 v'nira sharadach zal yiparish dvrei ha-gmara b'yisharab v'chahai gavna. Ela nisuin mi ikala meimatna. Hildeha de enu regilut shiit ba ela nisuin machmat shum tnai. The interpretation of the Gemara, which says that ein tnai ben nisuin, doesn't mean that it's not theoretically possible. but it's simply that a person, when he actually consummates the marriage, it's most unlikely that he still wants to retain all of those clauses that he put in at the time of the engagement. Okay. Kamosha Katova Tosas. No. What he's saying is very simple. The Gemara says in a number of places that a Tanai, which was at the time of the Kedushin, especially if it was not made explicitly at the time of the Nisuyin, there's a presumption that the man has waived all of his clauses. The Knesset HaGdola says this is just an assumption. That is, there's a presumption about this man's psychology. A person's psychology is that until the marriage is actually consummated, he's going to insist on all of his clauses. But you don't have all of these extraneous clauses when you actually physically cohabit with your wife. By that time, you've either decided to marry or you've not decided to marry.
It automatically throws away all
what's right. That's right. But this is a presumption. This is a presumption as to his psychology. It's not a law. In other words, in a situation like this, where this clause is not meant to invalidate the marriage in reality, but only to provide a fiction which allows his wife to proceed after his death, then there is no such presumption that he wants to cancel these things, because canceling of these things would wreck his marriage rather than sustain it.
Conclusion is a psychological.
No, what this is, what he is saying, all that I'm saying is that here are two Sephardic authorities. They are rare exceptions, but at least these are two Sephardic authorities who have come to stand by the position of the Trumas Hadeshen, of the Ashkenazic rabbis, who maintain that such a clause is good. There may be an additional ingredient here. There's an excellent essay by Professor Katz, I think it's in his collection called Halacha VaKabbalah, on what the attitude towards Yibum was during this entire period.
Trying to get that, it's not around here. Is there a Rebbe nowhere we can really get that? Anything from Katz is good.
Yeah, anything from Katz is good. That's absolutely true.
What's Katz personally?
Yaakov.
Yeah.
It's an excellent book. But the point that he makes is that throughout the time of the Gemara and up until, say, the 12th or the 13th century, it was indeed true that Yibum was regarded as an anachronism, something that we're stuck with from some previous organization of society. It became frozen, if you like, into the Torah, but it's there. It's not something that we regard as a large portion of the Jewish community didn't regard this as a positive commandment. Or if they did, it was out of a sense of obligation to the deceased. But with the advent of Kabbalah and the idea of Gilgul, of what is it called in English? Reincarnation. The idea was that somehow or other the brother's soul was going to be reincarnated in the child, and therefore Yibum became a very positive commandment. In other words, even in the time of the Gemara, there's a dispute as to whether mitzvah chalitza kodein or whether Yibum is preferable.
Right.
But once this l'kayem shem achiv means that the brother's soul has a chance of becoming reincarnated in the child, that has an entirely mystical character, and a portion of this pro-Yibum attitude, which derived from mysticism, was widespread in the Sephardic community, if not so much in the Ashkenazic community. So we might also view the position of the Beis Yosef and of the Sephardic Rabbanim as being tinged, at least, by this changed attitude towards Yibum, not simply by the issue of a reluctance to allow based on the abstract conditions of Tanakh. All right?
What is the position of
Rabbi Cohen in terms of mystical aspects? Well, I had a good connection with mysticism. With David Cohen, I don't know. All right. Now, so far, this Tanai So far, this Tanai, as we've seen, has been limited to the very pressing case of the Mumma. In fact, the Bach, if you remember, justified it on general societal grounds. There are going to be a large number of men who simply won't be able to find brides unless you allow this Tanai. But of course, there are other cases where the woman would fall into hardship because the brother-in-law is incapacitated, not simply because he's a mumma. He might be insane, he might be a cheresh, he might be a cripple. But there might be various things which will make the chalitza impossible. And we find in the succeeding century, when we move up into the 18th century, that already this idea of eliminating the requirement for yibum and chalitza by a tnai has been extended from the case of mumo, which the Bach said was a problem affecting Klal Yisrael, to cases of individual hardship, which were certainly not societal in nature, in the sense that you don't have a large number of people whose brothers are incapacitated from being insane or what have you. So here, from the Shvus Yaakov, he reports the actual practice in the courts in Prague. So we can see that this is not just some theoretical discussion, but the actual text or form that the court in Prague in the 18th century was engaged in introducing such a clause.
Yaakov Endel?
No. This is the Shvus Yaakov of Yaakov Rishon. Ba'u lafanenu beis din chatumi mata, abachur ploni bel ploni, v'yomar lanu b'yashar zeh hayom hu yom chatunato v'yom simchat libo, l'kadesh kedat Moshe v'Yisrael et kalato plonit bat plonit, u'v'asher yaduo l'chol sheyesh lo ach mi'aviv shehechlif. He has a brother, everyone knows that he has a brother who is converted. Now he adds a number of other possibilities, you see. Up until now, the only cases that we have were the converted brother. But now, in parentheses, Oshin Evad Zichro, Ze Kama Shanim, Yodanu, Lo Yodanu Mahayalon, Vedat Abach, Sof Sumid Kufnun Zayin, Kahai Gap Nagam, Ken Mutal Hatnod, Elish Gadol, Akat Pif Kek, Pedavosh, Ein Hatnod, Elin Ken De Klip, Vaayin Masha Katav, Lefanein Otoch, Hatshuva, Mimim Kaze Yish Lechtov, Shehu Cheresh, suppose that the brother is deaf. Kevan shehu nasui yishav yehen lo rushut ma'alchut lisash neyas. V'gam lo yavem lo yachol kevan shehu nasui yishav yehen lo yachol rushut ma'alchut lisash neyanashim. The brother-in-law is incapable, etc. So he's added the list of the missing brother-in-law, possibly, and he's positively adding the list of the deaf married brother-in-law. Neither of these were included before in the clauses. V'inei mida'aga v'im chas shalo lahazkir chalila ye'edar ploni kanal b'li zera kayama v'azay tavo chalila zugato hanal l'klal aguna v'kach rotzinu l'vakesh eze takana l'davar v'chein ze asher matzanu shaploni hanal yitna t'nai b'girushin hanal שמקדש אותה על תנאי, אם לא ימות בליזר הקיימה יהי קידושין תופסין כדת משה בישראל, ואם חס ושלום ימות בליזר הקיימה, אל עזי הקידושין יהי בתולין, ולא יהי תופסין כלל וכלל ושום עניין ולשום בכל מקום, ומכל מקום תקבע כתובתה ותוספת כתובתה. So here you see, there's the resolution of, right? ולא יהי התנאי הנה להזק או לגרוע כוח כתובתה כלל, ואם יזכה לזרע קיימה ולא ימות בלי זרע, אזי יהיה קדושים תופסים מעכשיו, ועל דעת תנאי זו שמקדש אותם בתנאי גמור ככל דיני תנאי בני גד ובני ראובן, ועל דעת תנאי זו הוא בועל אותה כל זמן שיהיה איתה עמה, I don't know what that is, וכן יגיד לקהלתו גם כן שעל תנאי הוא מקדש אותה ונוהג עמה מנהג אישות, וכן נעשו התנאים על פי האופן הנ"ל בפני עדים פלוני ופלוני, כשהגיד כן לקהלה בפני עדים הנ"ל, ובשעת הקדושים הזכירו אותו עדים הנ"ל לו, ועל הקהלה שקדושים נעשו על תנאי שנדברו ונותנו ביניהם, ואחר קדושים חזר ופירש התנאי לפני הקהלה ועדים הנ"ל, כל הנ"ל נעשה כדין על פי חקירות ושאלת עדים ותביעת עדות, ומעתה אם חס ושלום ידע פלוני הנ"ל בלי זרע קיימה, ובנידון הנעל יש לכתוב אחרי שזה לא יתקח, ויהיה לו אישה בעניין שאינו יוכל להתייבא מחמת פשוט מהמלך או לחלוץ. And he's adding the case of the deaf married brother-in-law. לא תהא האישה הנעל זקוקה לחליצה או ליבון לאח שהחליף. And he adds the two additional cases, או שנאבד זכרו, אך מרק אחד חירש נשוי כנעל. ויכולה להינשא לאשר יהווה ליבה בלי שום פקפוק ונדנוד ויקה בספק כלל ולהיות בידיה לא היה חתמנו היום. So this was a piece of paper that was handed to the woman for her protection in the event that her husband should die without issue.
So you have the same problem with a get to it today? If he gets killed in the army in the war?
Yes.
The same problem.
Why is there the same problem? There the whole problem was whether the get was valid or not valid.
Right.
And we said that there, when we learned this last fall, we said that there was hafkas v'kedushin. Hafkinu rabbanon l'kedushin minei, if the clause was not fulfilled by ba'onas. Ein tanat ones begitin, right? However, here, the difference here is that this is not based on hafka'at kedushin, but it's based on an explicit clause in the kedushin. Not a hafkat kedushin al yedei chachamim.
So the question can break back. Why did they have to do it? They have the same thing as putting kedushin in there. Why do you have to have a clause for it? If they're willing to do that, we don't need a clause.
It's true. But apparently the rabbanim couldn't do that. So that therefore they relied on this method.
This is the
truth
about the state that she was acting the mafreya in the language.
No, this isn't the question of what happens to that is discussed within the text of the tshuva. This is the end of the tshuva, which is I'm just showing you that this is an actual explicit procedure. This is not some abstract discussion, but this is the Rav in Prague saying that this is the standard procedure for such cases that we have in the event that there is a problematic brother-in-law. Okay, and it was extended de facto from the specific case of the mumo, extended beyond that to the case of... Okay. If we continue in Prague for another couple of generations, here's a tshuva of another Yehuda. The next page, again, I'm just bringing you the very end of this tshuva. And we won't even read this in detail. I just want to emphasize that here, or again, the idea of kedushin on tnai is in practice, but it's become a lot more complicated. We'll have to discuss why. But let's first see. So here on the right hand side, anachnu sadi chatumim mata. בנו להעיד איך שכמר ברל בא לפני הרב ובית דינו קודם חתונתו וביקש מהם איך שיעשה שרוצה לקדש ולישא את הקלה שלו פלונית על תנאי מפני טעם נכון שהציע לפני בית דין וכן רוצה להראות לו באיזה הדרך יהיה התנאי באופן המועיל והוא לו הרב ובית דינו איך יתנהג בתנאי קודם הקדושים וגם בשעת הקדושים והחופה וייחוד בבהילה וכן הדברו הלל ונזמייחד לעדין גבוזן להתנאי והקדושים ולפרש תחת החופה אי אפשר להעריך בתנאי וכן קידש אותה קודם כניסתו לחופה על ידי האלוף רב פלוני המסדר הקדושים בביתו טרם שנכנסו לחופה since they couldn't hold up the entire wedding ceremony with all the details of this, in fact the true wedding was a little bit earlier and they sort of had וכך אמר לנו ברוך הנעל כל המקדושים אתה עדים פלוני בן פלוני הפלוני ואומר שמענה דברי להיות איך בדי המייצר שם חסן וצוהה במתקה לזלדה בזליג ועוד זי מקדיש זין ונקרנה זין על תנאי וכן וילך פרנק מתנה זין איר זולט עדים זין מסנה זין איר זולט עדים זין אוף wie für ein Tnai in Zimakadish sein und Bechupa wie Kinyana Yishus könne sein wer. Vizel, wenn ich nicht mit dem Teut aufgehen, wer will ich Zera Kayama, euch, wenn ich sollte Chas Vashalem mit dem Teut aufgehen, will ich Zera Kayama, rak ich sollte mit dem Teut aufgehen, la Acha Misa es mein Kala Zelda Hanal, und euch wenn ich sollte ich hasse schauen mit dem Teut auf gehen du Isaac kayam ob khay mein kala zal dann la wach shi yesh mosi acha miso si acha shi yesh miso si acha mosi achi mendel sha khay mendel der noch tauen sha mos ani und euch wenn ich sollte ich hasse schauen mit dem Teut auf gehen du Isaac kayam ob khay mein kala zal dann al khay achi mendel und es wird bleiben bei khay ma khamosi mein bruder leib und es wird von ihm beschungen, es waren Chalitza Kshera geschehen in Zelda Hanal, und wenn ich werde, dann sollte ich, etc., etc. He's listing all the various clauses in which the wife could actually manage. So should all of these things occur, then the condition would be valid. And if he dies, I guess the problematic brother is Mendel, and if only Mendel should survive, but the other brother should die, and he should die without issue, then this condition should be invalidated retroactively. So you see, this is not even a formal prescription to the courts. This is an actual specific case in which the Nota Bene is listing how he behaved in practice vis-a-vis the principle of Tnai in the condition.
Have anything to do with Mendel.
No, Mendel.
Right, Mendel is the problematic brother. Right.
We never find out why.
Okay.
Just have to stay away from him.
Straight in the order.
Okay. Finally, let's take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan on this issue of Tanai Dikdushin. In fact, I'll let you read this by yourselves because I think that my time is just about up. We will stop now. But you will see that he also makes all of this a lot more complicated. So by the middle or the end of the 19th century, whereas there had been a tradition of 200 or 300 years, certainly in the Ashkenazic community, of relying on the Tanai to mitigate the problems of Yibum, like for example, he insists that at least that they have witnesses outside the room where the consummation is taking place as well, and that he should say in a loud voice just before the consummation of the marriage also that he's insisting on these clauses, a sort of an impossible requirement in reality.
She can't make these clauses.
Yeah, she can make the clauses.
He always says he makes them.
Well, but she can make the clauses just as well. It's on two sides. Okay. So the for various reasons that we have to investigate perhaps next time, although this issue of Tnai been to avoid the problems of Yibum had been in force for 300 or 400 years prior to the end of the 19th century in the Ashkenazi community at least, they became weakened. And they became weakened precisely at the time when various rabbinical authorities wanted to extend the idea of Tanai, not merely to deal with the problem of Yibum, because that wasn't the most pressing problem, but the problem of the husband going off to America with leaving the poor woman behind, or the wife joining the Communist Party, or various other things. And in situations like that, they wanted to see if they could remedy the situation with Tanai, precisely at the time that there was some weakening of the notion of relying on the Tanai altogether. Mainly because of the fact that, again, it was a reaction against the reform movement, and therefore any tinkering with the Jewish wedding seemed to be problematic. We'll continue with this discussion next week. Maybe one more, maybe two more shiurim on this topic.